Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. With $32 off for 1 week only and free shipping, you can try the Thunderstorm Air Purifier for less than $100. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code Howie32. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code Howie32 for $32 off and free shipping.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We inherited a broken and dismantled system that is already under strain. Only Congress can fix this.
Not my job, not my prop.
The wall projects, those that we ourselves control, I believe that the cost of discontinuing them is approximately $72 million.
Someone is going to pay for this damage, and it's not going to be me.
Oh, you're screwed.
I know.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studio.
When somebody says to you, what are Democrats doing to address inflation?
The time has come for finger pointing.
If you want to get rid of inflation, the only way to do it is to undo a lot of the Trump tax cuts.
And it's Vladimir Putin's gas price increase.
This is all happening in the context of 2 years of a pandemic.
We have stupid people now running our country. The world is going to be blown to pieces.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Dinesh D'Souza is a famous documentary filmmaker and best-selling author, and he's done a lot of great work, and he's got another blockbuster of a documentary coming out next week, and it's called 2000 Mules, and it's about the 2020 elections, and he's used a lot of data and video obtained by the election integrity group, True the Vote. And joining us now on the line is Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Howie, always a pleasure. Great to join you.
Well, listen, tell us about 2000 Mules.
Well, I have stayed out of the election debate in part because I never believed the preposterous, pompous assertions that this was the most secure election in history. But on the other hand, although I had suspicions of voter fraud, I couldn't prove them. I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't show it. Right. Now, my wife has been friends with, what do you say?
No, I said right. I mean, that's always the comeback. Well, if it's if the election was stolen, where's your evidence? That's what they always say. You know that.
Exactly. And so, you know, we could point to anomalies, and there were, of course, episodic cases of fraud, a guy stuffing a ballot box here or paying for ballots over there. But you need to show coordinated fraud of a magnitude sufficient to tip the election. And I didn't think that that evidence existed. But I've known Catherine Engelbrecht, who runs this a group called True the Vote, and I noticed that toward the end of 2020, they had a genius idea, which was to purchase the cell phone geo-tracking in the key states and to see, I mean, you have to look to see if it's true, whether or not there was ballot stuffing going on. And the way you do that is you monitor the cell phones to see if a single cell phone goes typically in the middle of the night to 10 or more drop boxes. Because think about it, Howie, there's no innocent reason at 3 a.m. in the morning to go to 10 drop boxes unless you're stuffing ballots into them. So
what about if there's a leak? What if there's a leak in Fulton County, Georgia, in the place where they're counting the ballots?
Right. But these mail-in drop boxes are spread out all over the place. I mean, they're not side by side. You have to pull off the highway. You've got to go looking for them. You've got to know where they are. And what it turns out is that the ballot stuffers, the fraudsters, know that they can't put 500 ballots in one box because it'll create an unnatural spike and everybody will know right away. So what they've trained these mules to do, and a mule is nothing more than a paid operative delivering fraudulent votes to a drop box, they've trained them 3 votes here, 5 votes there, onto the next drop box, 10 votes in that one. And that's why, like the mailman, these guys go on routes, typically in the middle of the night.
How come none of these people have stepped, or maybe I just don't know about it, how come none of these people have stepped forward? It's hard to have a conspiracy where nobody talks. Why aren't there more people coming forward?
Well, there have been a couple of high-profile arrests of these mules in Arizona, and one of them does talk, and so we have an exclusive interview with the mule in the movie. Generally, it's hard to get because these people are part of a criminal racket. They're recruited from the criminal elements of society. They know that they're actually engaging in illegal activity and coordinated illegal activity, and they're also being handsomely paid for what they're doing. So they have absolutely no incentive to come forward.
So what states did this occur in, according to your documentary? What states are you going to outline election fraud in?
So we only did a search, and I say we, I'm including True the Vote here. They only did a search in five places, and they're not even whole states. It's the Atlanta area of Georgia, which encompasses three or four counties.
Yeah.
It's Phoenix, which is Maricopa County. It's
right.
Detroit. It's okay. Milwaukee and the greater Philadelphia area. Those are the okay. places where the election was decided.
Yeah, those are the places where we've all read the stories and heard the stories. And that's also where I think the election vote counting stopped at around 11 o'clock Eastern time on election night.
This is exactly right. And so what we find is we count 240 or so mules that were deployed in Atlanta, 200 or so in Arizona, 1,100 in Philadelphia. So I add them up. That's where I get the 2,000 mules. But these are only the most industrious mules because they would have had to go to at least 10 drop boxes. If you drop the search to 5 drop boxes, the number of mules multiplies.
Can they do this again, Denise? I guess that's the question we all have. You know, there's going to be a landslide against these people in the midterm elections, but can they run this kind of operation again this year?
Well, they can, but it may not be enough. And I say that because, you know, when I add up the work of these 2,000 mules, and we do all this math in a very systematic way in the movie, basically you're talking about 500,000 fraudulent votes, which is a big number. By the way, more than enough to tip several of these states that went for Biden into the Trump column. Because
right.
some of those states were very close, right? Georgia, 12,000 votes. Arizona,
yeah.
just over 10,000 votes. So 500,000, 400,000 illegal ballots is more than enough. But of course, if there's a landslide going the other way, then in the country of 300 million people, that's not going to matter.
I hope you're right. Tell us about where people can see the movie.
So you should go to the website, which is called 2000mules.com, or the number 2000mules.com. I had to put the movie on uncancelable platforms. So we have it in some theaters. But these days, you can't trust Apple or iTunes or Amazon.
I understand. I understand.
Yeah. So I needed a new business plan. And it's all, by the way, there's five different ways you can see the movie. You certainly can buy DVDs. You can digitally download the movie. We're having something called an in-home virtual premiere. It's in 300 theaters on May 2nd and May 4th. So all this information is at 2000mules.com, and I've put it in such a way that no one can take it down.
All right. So go to 2000mules.com. That's how to find out. I got to ask you about Twitter, Dinesh D'Souza. You're of Indian American descent. What is it with the CEO of Twitter and the chief legal officer? They were both born in India, and they seem to be dedicated zealots. They want to destroy the First Amendment. Most Indians I know are totally into the American way of life. They Indians have a higher income than any other ethnic group in the United States. What is it with these two people at Twitter? What the hell were they doing?
Yeah, so I got to tell you, I mean, there's plenty of corruption and gangsterism in India itself. Now, thankfully, not too many of those Indians know how to get to, you know, Atlanta or Houston. And so by and large, we get the better cut of the Indian crop. But every now and then, someone like Vijaya Gadde or this Parag Agarwal or even my own prosecutor, Preet Bharara, these are basically the sort of bottom of the heap of the Indian pick.
Yeah, what Yeah, I can't believe, you know, that she was this legal counsel that was crying yesterday. It's like she's persecuted. She threw the president of the United States off of the off of one of the major social media in the United States, and now she's weeping like she's a victim. You know,
I can't believe it. She reminds me of the prison guard in The Shawshank Redemption, who was actually weeping. You know, he was a bully and a vicious guy himself, happy to beat up on other people and take pleasure in it. But when he got caught, he's like, oh, poor me. So that's what's happening here. She's upset not at being a victim, but at no longer being able to be a perpetrator.
Yeah, I know. And they're worried about their safety. When they had the power to bully other people, they weren't concerned about people like Donald Trump or the Babylon Bee getting knocked off of Twitter. They didn't care about that. But now that someone's posse's coming after them, they're worried about their safety. God.
Well, look, this is so good for the movie, because the opening up at Twitter means that the left censorship only works when all the platforms collaborate. They, of course, have Facebook and they have YouTube, but it's really wonderful that Elon Musk has pried away Twitter from their claws and their grasp. And just having one major free speech platform like that is just immensely liberating.
Yeah, I feel more liberated to use Twitter now. So give us the address one more time if people want to find out how to watch it. When does it premiere, incidentally?
So the premiere week is next week, starting on Monday, May 2nd. And we have it in theaters May 2nd and also May 4th. If you go to the website, put in your state, it'll pop up all the theaters playing in the state, and you can decide if you want to go to the theater and see it. There'll be plenty of ways to see it at home as well. So 2000mules.com is the website. And I also want to mention, we've got a ton of video of these guys in the act. So this is not just a matter of me asserting it or even geo-tracking evidence. You can see the criminals breaking into Fort Knox.
Oh, I love surveillance video. It's always good. That's why Cops has lasted all these years on network TV. Thank you, Dinesh D'Souza, the producer of 2000 Mules. We look forward to seeing the movie, and I'm glad you made it. Thank you. Cape Cod Gutter Monkeys was founded back in 2014. It is a home service company that specializes in the installation, cleaning, and maintenance of gutters. If you work or vacation on Cape Cod, I'm sure you've heard about the Cape Cod Gutter Monkeys. With several thriving locations, they are now bringing their quality Gutter Monkey brand to New England. Are you ready to be the next Gutter Monkey franchise owner? Are you ready to own and operate your own business? American Gutter Monkeys is looking for hardworking entrepreneurs who are serious about becoming successful business owners. They will provide franchise partners with dedicated office support from their local headquarters staff, hands-on field training with ongoing support, and, of course, their award-winning marketing program. New England is an underserved market with year-round demand. You can become the solution. If you're serious about being your own boss, if you're serious about building wealth by owning your own business, call 508-477-9100, 508-477-9100, or visit AmericanGutterMonkeys.com. It's great to be your own boss, I can tell you that. That's AmericanGutterMonkeys.com. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie will be right back after a quick trip to the Redemption Center. There's no silencing him. They've tried.
You're not going to intimidate me. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. We haven't done a masterpiece theater for a while. You can't rush these things. You just have to wait till you get some really funny court depositions or trial transcripts. But we've got one today. Apparently, there was a deposition given by Donald Trump in October of last year in a civil case, and these are protesters that are alleging they were assaulted by Trump security guards outside of Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan in 2015, And the lawyers representing the protesters wanted to ask about the remarks that the president made in a speech during the Iowa caucuses in 2016, in which he told attendees, if you see someone getting ready to throw a tomato, just knock the crap out of them, would you? So they the deposition that he, that Trump gave to the lawyers for the protesters who were suing him was just filed in federal court yesterday, and we have a copy of the actual deposition. And so in this case, Grace is going to be the attorney, the civil attorney who was questioning the former president. You know who's going to be playing the former president? It would be Taylor Cormier as in the role of Donald J. Trump. Are you guys ready to go? Masterpiece Theater music. So take it away.
All right, so just for a little setup here, they have played the video now where Donald Trump makes this statement. And now, scene. Mr. President, do you recall making that statement?
Yes.
Okay, and you said that if you see someone getting ready to throw a tomato, just knock the crap out of them, would you? That was your statement.
Oh, yeah, it was very dangerous.
What was very dangerous?
We were threatened.
With what?
They were going to throw fruit. We were threatened. We had a threat.
How did you become aware that there was a threat that people were going to throw fruit?
We were told, I thought Secret Service was involved in that, actually. But we were told, and you get hit with fruit, it's very violent stuff. We were on alert for that.
A tomato is a fruit, after
all. And you know what?
It has seeds.
It's worse than tomato. It's other things also. But tomato, when they start doing that stuff, it's very dangerous. There was an alert out that day.
Who were you speaking to when you said
the audience?
So you were speaking to the audience when you said if they saw someone getting ready to throw a tomato, just knock the crap out of them, would you?
That was to the audience. It was said sort of in jest, but maybe, you know, a little truth to it. It's very dangerous stuff. You can get killed with those things.
So you were trying to incentivize people to engage in violence?
No, I wanted to have people be ready because we were put on alert that they were going to do fruit. And some fruit is a lot worse than... Tomatoes are bad, by the way. It's very dangerous. No, I wanted them to watch. They were on alert. I remember that specific event because everybody was on alert. They were going to hit... They were going to hit hard.
Do you have any knowledge as to whether or not anybody was found to have tomatoes in their possession on that day?
I don't know, but it didn't happen. It worked out that nothing happened. The speech was good, and there was no event. Nothing happened.
Was it a false alarm?
No, it was something that didn't happen for whatever reason. It's very good. We heard it was going to happen, but nothing happened.
Why did you tell those people in the audience that you would pay their legal fees?
Because if they get in trouble trying to protect us, including them, I would have paid their legal fees.
When you said
I wanted them to be on the alert. It was a serious threat, and I would have paid their legal fees if they stopped somebody. Today, if you stop somebody, not today, even then, but that was a long time ago. That was years ago, but I would have been willing to pay their legal fees. Yeah, if they stopped somebody. It turned out we didn't need that.
You said you were talking to the audience, but is the same true of your security? Do you expect your security to knock the crap out of someone if they see them?
I was talking to the audience.
Mr. President, please let me finish the question so we can get the whole record very clear. Is it your expectation that if your security guard sees someone about to throw a tomato, that they should knock the crap out of them?
Well, a tomato, a pineapple, a lot of other things they throw. Yeah, if the security saw that, I would say you have to. And it's not just me, it's other people in the audience get badly hurt. Yeah, I think that they have to be aggressive in stopping that from happening, because if that happens, you could be killed if that happens.
And getting aggressive includes the use of physical force.
To stop somebody from throwing pineapples, tomatoes, bananas, stuff like that, yeah, it's dangerous stuff.
Assault with a deadly weapon, to wit, a tomato. Was it an heirloom tomato?
Taylor's Trump voice is dead on. Felt like I was in the room with him.
I'd rather be hit with a tomato than a pineapple.
Oh, same.
You could get cut with a pineapple. You could end up with a face looking like Sleepy LaBeef, the state rep from Worcester. You got hit with a pineapple.
My favorite line. Some fruit is worse than tomatoes are bad, by the way. That's my favorite. Tomatoes are bad, by the way.
That's why Mrs. Trump's wedge salad doesn't have any tomatoes in it, I don't believe. All right, thank you, guys. Great Masterpiece Theater. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Thorne.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Taylor, you and Grace are getting rave reviews on the text line. People want to nominate you for Emmys and Oscars and Peabody's and all kinds of other awards.
I accept the awards on behalf of myself and Grace.
And only one guy wants to throw a tomato at you.
Tomato bad. Tomatoes are bad. Bad news.
You hate to make fun of the guy, but that's true. That falls in your lap. That's gold. You gotta do it.
No, Masterpiece Theater. I wish we could do more of it, but the opportunities are few and far between. You can't pass it up. It was hilarious. All right, Taylor has also just posted the arrest report from the Mass State Police. We tweeted it out, but the easiest place to find it is on our website, HowieCarShow.com, and it's all right there. And again, the only thing that's left unanswered, the only question that remains to be confronted is what is the flavor of the 9 empties of Dr. McGillicuddy's.
And how he got all those scrapes on his face.
Well, that too. Yeah, I guess you're right. There are two questions. And how dumb does he have to be a state rep from Massachusetts and know that you don't take the breathalyzer test? You just you lose your license for 6 months. I mean, I thought people learned that in middle school in Massachusetts. You don't take the breathalyzer test. You give up your license for 6 months, but it's better than getting the OUI. Anyway. 844-500-4242. The next thing I want to talk about is this thing. We've talked about it over and over again, but it looks like the Biden administration is still getting pressure from AOC and Ayanna Pressley and all the members of the squad and all members of Congress who consider themselves the spokesman for the loafer community, you know, Bernie Sanders, the fake Indian. They're all pushing for total forgiveness of student loan debt. It's 1.4 trillion and it keeps increasing. It's now I keep reading numbers like $1.6 trillion in student loans. 40 million deadbeats owe money. And again, I'm just going to say, I don't understand this. Why are student loans going to be forgiven when car loans are not forgiven, mortgage loans are not forgiven, alimony, child support, real estate, property taxes? Why aren't they going to be forgiven? Credit card bills. As I said in my column on this a couple of weeks ago, I am grooming my credit card bills as student loans. They're going to identify as student loans so I can get some relief. You know, I've paid off my car. I've paid off my mortgages. Why should I have to pay any bills? I have water bills. I don't want to pay water bills. Why can't I get some relief? Why is it only these students? And you know, the other thing is, They keep doing these studies, like the Brookings Institute, which is a left-wing, left-leaning think tank, says that 70-80% of this money that would be quote-unquote forgiven, and it's not forgiven, it just means that you and me, the people who paid off our debts or never had any debts from student loans, we're going to get stuck picking up the tab for all these boobs who didn't pay off their debts. And they went to college. The unemployment rate for college graduates is now under 2%. Under 2%. So what is the emergency? You know, and so Biden, again, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, as he always does. You know, there are all these I saw a pair of tweets. He was saying it's time for in 2020, it's time for Trump to stop blaming other people for his problems. And then that was on April 20th, 2020. April 20th, 2022, he says, we all know who's responsible for the inflation. It's Putin. Right. So now he's got two different stories here. The economy's the best it's ever been. People just don't understand how good the economy's been. So then, in the same breath, he's saying, well, we're going to have to, you know, defer the payment of student loans because the economy's so bad and these kids just can't get off their backs. They can't get jobs. What do you mean they can't get jobs? The unemployment rate is under 2% for people who went to college. What's the problem? What's next? I mean, they had plenty of money for tattoos. They had plenty of money to go to the weed emporium. They had plenty of money to buy nips of Dr. McGillicuddy's or Fireball. They had plenty of money to go to the Caribbean. They had plenty of money to buy some plasma screen TVs. But they don't have money to repay their student loans? I don't think so. I think this, you know, they think they got a problem now. They're going to have a bigger problem if they do this, because this is going to unite huge segments of the population. I mean, if this is going to help out the people that they claim are the problem in society, i.e. people with money, that's who's going to get taken care of here. 844-500-4242. Scott, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Scott.
Hi, Howie. Hey, I agree with you. I can't understand why they're not paying their loans back. Nobody's going to cover my loans. But I'm more shocked by the people proposing this. Doesn't this disproportionately affect minorities who didn't get to go to college?
Well, most of the loans are to white people, and most of the loans are to people who not only this isn't people who like went to community college for a couple of semesters and then dropped out and got real jobs. I mean, the bulk of the money has been borrowed by people who either graduated from college who in many cases went to graduate school. And I mean, if you know, even if you have a phony baloney master's degree or a phony baloney PhD, the chances are you've got a job where you can be you're making a lot more money than somebody who just graduated high school. You know, and some of these people that are writing into these message boards or advice columns, they're saying, I went to law school and now I owe $200,000. You went to law school, so you're a lawyer. You have what's called a ticket. Do all the lawyers bust out lawyers? They can't all become judges like they do in Massachusetts. Someone's got to actually go to court and represent the indigent defendants in the first session of the BMC every Monday morning, the Boston Municipal Court. I'm tired of it. I don't want to pay for these people. 844-500-4242. I had to make decisions. You know what? I didn't want my kids. That was the last gift I wanted to give my kids before they got out on their own, was to give them a sheepskin with no debt. And I did it. I could have done other things with the money. You could have done other things with the money. And maybe you couldn't do it, but you gave your kid enough money so that he or she doesn't have a crushing burden of debt. So why are you and I now going to have to bail out somebody who, grabbed all the money and then went on spring break or to Mardi Gras or, you know, to whatever? I'm not buying it. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, hi, Howie. You know, the real insult here isn't just the fact that they want to pay off all the student loans, but the government has been feeding colleges and universities for years with our federal tax dollars, and the same thing holds true with NPR, National Public Radio, and all these other entities, Howie. I mean, where the hell does it end?
I know. And you know, if Harvard just announced they're going to spend $100 million on some kind of reparations program because somebody in Harvard back in the old days, before 1783, when slavery was outlawed in Massachusetts, they had somebody had slaves at Harvard, so they're going to give $100 million. Well, okay, that's all, that's fine. They do what they want to do. They can virtue signal as much as they want, assuage their white guilt. But they still have $53 billion left. So if this is a big issue of equity, that's their favorite word, equity. That's what they named the judicial pay raise yesterday, equity. So they've got $53 billion worth of equity. Let them take their entire endowment and put it towards paying off student debts. So that's only like, that's 1/27th, 1/28th of the money that would be needed to pay off the student debts. You know what I call that? A good start. A good start. Then we'll go after Yale and Princeton and Stanford. That would probably be another $100 billion right there. You know, let's let these very woke campuses. We'll say Oberlin doesn't have to give any money because they owe $34 million to that bakery, Gibson Bakery, that they accused of racism, and they lost the case. But everybody else, all these colleges that are so concerned about equity, let them pay down the student loan debt because it's not equitable to you and me to force us to pay for deadbeats. 844-500-4242. Jason, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jason.
Hi.
Hi.
A long time listener. Most of the time I agree with what you have to say, but I think you're ignoring a few things at this point. Now, I'm 48 years old. I'm not a deadbeat. But you're forgetting that under the Obama era, they changed student loans. You had to go through the government.
Yes.
You couldn't shop around for a good interest rate. And you're right, there are a lot of colleges that are government subsidized. Now, I took, in my later life, a number of online courses. I had to borrow the money. I could only borrow it through the system that was in place. And the interest rate is out of, you know, it's unreasonable. Now, on top of that, I had to pay a lot of
You haven't fees. Had to pay any interest, though, the last two-plus years, have you, Jason?
Just wait a minute now. Plus, I had to pay a lot of fees.
You haven't had to pay anything, though, the last 2 years, have you?
Wait, now, let me finish, and then you can argue.
The answer is no. He hasn't had to pay anything. Go ahead.
Well, no, but that doesn't mean I live in a very economically depressed area. I'm not asking for forgiveness, but somebody could do
well, then you agree with me. You shouldn't be forgiven the loans. Did you ever take an online course in Latin? Because I want to quiz you on a Latin expression that you should know. Jason, listen to me. Here's the Latin expression that you should know. It's caveat emptor. You know what that means? Caveat emptor?
It's Latin.
What does that mean?
Go ahead. It's Latin, probably more or less let the buyer beware.
Yes, you got it. You got it.
So
why didn't you beware?
What you got to do. I had no other choice at the time.
I had no other choice either. I went to a state school. That was my choice. Everybody has choices. You come to a road. There's a fork in the road. If I'd gone to an Ivy League school like I got into, I would be able to cite that Julius Caesar line. You know, there comes a tide in the fortunes of men. When taken at the flood, you go and you end up and you get a nice job in a nonprofit making $500,000 a year for no.
You know the thing.
But on the other hand, maybe you go to a state school, and you just got to keep working and busting your hump for the rest of your life. Thanks for the call, Jason. Thanks for the call, Jason. Good luck. You've gotten a 2-year moratorium. How much more do you want? Mom seems like a pretty straightforward job description until you see them in action. I know from watching my own wife, she can switch from trauma nurse to a 5-star chef, organizer in chief to 1,000 other titles, all in a single afternoon. Moms run this world, so this Mother's Day, show her how much you appreciate her by going to 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is offering $25 off 2 dozen assorted roses. Yes, that's $25 off 2 dozen assorted roses. 1-800-Flowers sent us a bouquet here down in Florida, and it is just beautiful. The 25 roses, they've got a nice place right on the table in the dining room. My wife loves them, the mailroom manager. They've been here for 3 days now, and they're just as fresh as when they arrived on Sunday. They're fantastic. All different colors of the roses. This gorgeous bouquet of 24 roses in an assortment of bright colors is guaranteed to show all of the moms in your life just how much they're loved.
And what's great about 1-800-Flowers, Howie, is they work with a lot of local florists in your area, so they get the freshest flowers out to you as expediently as possible, and you're helping out local businesses as well.
That's a good point, Taylor. And again, the price is only going to go up. There's still 10 days to Mother's Day, and as we get closer to Mother's Day, the price is going to continue to go up. All roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak, cared for every step of the way, and are shipped fresh to ensure lasting beauty. $25 off 24 assorted roses is an amazing offer, but prices will be going up soon, so hurry and order before today is over, because the prices are going up as of today. This is the last day to get this great deal. Don't put this off. Order today and deliver on time for mom from the official florist of Mother's Day, 1-800-Flowers.com. To get $25 off 24 assorted roses, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Howie. Hurry, this offer ends today. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
You've got to ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
Spring is finally here. Why not savor every moment? With HelloFresh, you get delicious, chef-crafted recipes featuring seasonal produce and spring's freshest flavors delivered right to your doorstep. Get started today at HelloFresh.com/Howie16 and use code Howie16 for 16 free meals plus 3 gifts. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you still read a print edition of a newspaper?
Yes, I read the New York Post.
77% say they do not.
Okay, all right. More read a print edition than I thought they would of this audience. All right, here's the line from Shakespeare that I was grappling with. And this is about, apply this to whether or not you take that student loan way back when. There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. That's if you took the student loans. Now your life is bound. According to everybody who follows AOC and Ayanna Pressley and the fake Indian, your life is bound in shallows and miseries. It was your call. It was your call, taken at the flood. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie. This is Bill in Georgia. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this, but this isn't all about the students. This is about the banks. These student loans are all guaranteed to the banks. So the banks right now have $1.6 trillion. A lot of it is non-performing debt. And as the economy starts to tank, the banks are going to get in trouble.
But isn't a lot of didn't the Obama administration take over most of these loans? Aren't most of the loans now guaranteed by the federal government?
Well, okay, so the federal government's going to write checks to the banks. They have to pay the banks. See, the banks would have never made these loans to people under normal commercial circumstances, right? It had to be a government guarantee. So
it's like the loan crisis in 2007, 2008. I mean, when all the loans crashed, these were loans guaranteed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that the banks never would have made on their own. But the feds ordered the banks to make the loans and guaranteed them, and then we ended up almost in a depression. And you're right, they've done it again. The government screws everything up that they touch, just about. Certainly when Brandon is president, it happens 100% of the time. Thanks for the call, Bill. I'm Howie Carr.